Today's Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Ayin Beis. We will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph on the Beis, two lines from the bottom. Now, previous year we had learned that all the years that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they had not made a Bris Milah. And the Gemara wants to know, Midbar, my tam le'mol, why indeed all the years that did they not make a Bris Milah? Tosfos asks that the Pasuk says that when Bilam cursed Klal Yisrael, he said, "Mi mona af Yaakov." Bilam saw that the Midbar was full of the Arla, the Arlas that were taken from Klal Yisrael when they did a Bris Milah. So asked Tosfos, isn't that clearly an indication that they did do Bris Milah in the Midbar? So the Ramban and Rashban say that Chiddush, that they took the Arla that they had removed the Mitzrayim before they left Mitzrayim, that was the Arla that Bilam was referring to. Another pshat that they suggest is that we're going to learn that when Klal Yisrael became, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Klal Yisrael, that was the point when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were not able to do a Bris Milah, which is essentially until Kabbalah Sotayro, maybe a little later. But till then, they were still doing a Bris Milah at the Midbar. And that's what the Gemara means to refer to here. The Gemara is referring to the Bilam was referring to the Milah that they did till then. And here, we're speaking about afterwards when they started doing the Bris Milah. And the Gemara again wants to know why not. Says the Gemara, so one Teretz says because they were tired from traveling, and therefore, as we know, we discussed as recently as in a previous year, when somebody is weak, when they're not able to have a Bris Milah. So Tosfos asks, if we're going to say that all those years that they were in the Midbar, they didn't do any Bris Milah, the halacha is that an oral is not allowed to eat kachim. And in those days, it wasn't that they just shechted, slaughtered meat in order to eat meat. The meat that they ate, that if they wanted to eat meat, had to become shlomim meat. So what meat did they eat? So Tosfos answers that indeed, all of these people who were born in the Midbar, that did not have a Bris Milah, did not eat kachim, but they, unlike the other people, Tosfos suggests, people who had a Bris Milah, the only meat they were allowed to eat was the meat that they had from kachim. But a person who did not have a Bris Milah all these years in the Midbar indeed did not eat kachim meat all the years that they ate regular meat. They were allowed to eat because they had no other option. They ate regular meat in the Midbar. So as we said, that because they were traveling, so it was sakana for them to make a Bris Milah when they're traveling. That's why they didn't have a Bris Milah all those years. So the question that the Ritva asks, the Moshe Rabbeinu was faulted for not having done a Bris Milah on his child. And the question is, because why was he faulted? He was also traveling, and it was a sakana. So the Ritva suggests that he could have waited till he did the Bris Milah. But the Achronim and Rishonim ask that how could that be? He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was supposed to travel immediately to Mitzrayim. So what's pshat? So he says that he could have left Midian immediately, but stopped on the way to Mitzrayim to do a Bris Milah. The question, of course, also is asked Ritva, that while they were in the Midbar, they weren't traveling all the time. So what's pshat that the Gemara says that there was chol shadorcha, that they were tired from traveling? They weren't traveling all the time, says the Ritva, that even though they weren't traveling all the time, but the Pasuk says, al-pi Hashem yachnu, al-pi Hashem yisol, which means that they always had to be ready to travel on a moment's notice. And if they would make a Bris Milah, and the children that they did a Bris Milah would have just have to travel immediately, that would be dangerous for them. And because of that, they couldn't make the bris milah because they were always needed to be ready to travel. Vibay Sema. And then the Gemara gives a different reason why they didn't do a bris milah all the years that they were in the Midbar. Mishim delay nasuv lahu ruach tzfonis. The northern wind did not blow for them. The Tanya, as the Bryson teaches us, kol ha'yisrael sham ha yisrael b'midbar. All those 40 years that Klai saw in the Midbar, le'nash behen ruach tzfonis, there was no north wind. And the north wind is what brings the refuah, is what causes that the child who had the bris milah should have a refuah, and therefore they couldn't have a bris milah. Tosis, however, points out that when the Gemara says loy nash b'lam ruach tzafonis, it doesn't mean that there was no ruach tzafonis at all, because the Gemara in Masechet Gittin says Tosis says that if there's no ruach tzafonis, the world would not be able to exist. It says, so I saw that they explain that the ruach tzafonis that they had was only at a certain moment of the day. And in order to have a refuah for the milah, you have to have the ruach tzafonis all day long. So our Gemara had just given two reasons why they couldn't have the bris milah. One was because chol shad archa, they were weak from traveling. And the other test the Gemara gave was because of Ruach Tzfonis. So the Beis Halevi in Parshas B'Shalach says that we aren't to understand this Gemara, that these two Pshatim are disagreeing. What the Gemara is saying is you have two Pshatim that complement each other. Because the people, the Chol Shad Archa, would not adversely affect the people who were traveling in the Anane HaKovid. As the Pasuk says, V'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim, the Pasuk says, Hamalicha b'midbar ze'abam shana ragleichla b'tzeka, they traveled, even though they were traveling, they had this wonderful protection. The people who were expelled from the Anane HaKovid had Chol Shad Archim. But the people who were in the Anane HaKovid, for them, the issue wasn't the Chol Shad Archa. For them, the issue was like Nishbam Ruach Tzfonis. Therefore, suggests the Beis Halevi, we aren't to understand this Gemara as these two Terutzim are disagreeing, but rather we're to understand this Gemara that they actually complement each other. We asked the Gemara, but my Tama, why didn't they Ruach Tzfonis go blow during those 40 years in the Midbar? Says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, one pshat is Mishum the Nezufim Hayu, because the Cheta Egel, and Rashi says the Cheta Egel, but Tosfos is not satisfied with that pshat, because the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Solachti Kedvarecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us for the Cheta Egel. And because of that, many Rishonim suggest that the reason they were in the Zufim was because the Chet of the Meraglim. Vibai Seima, the Leinivda Anani Kovid. The Anani Kovid were protecting them, as we just mentioned. And if the north wind, which is a strong wind, would blow, it would cause them to separate. And Hashem did not want that to happen. So what we learn from here, says Tosfos, that all 40 years in the Midbar, they did not make a bris milah. And as we discussed in our previous year, if somebody doesn't have a bris milah, or his children or avodim don't have a bris milah, you can't bring a Karan Pesach. And therefore, says Tosfos, it seems that they did not bring a Karan Pesach only once. Others say that they did bring the Karan Pesach. It goes back to a question that we discussed previously. If they couldn't bring the Karan Pesach because they were anusim, it was beyond their control, what is the halacha? And they want to suggest that they did bring the Karan Pesach. The Medrash says they didn't bring. So they want to explain they didn't bring it in the proper way. So of course the Ritva asked the question. The Gemara says that the reason the Ruach Tzfonis did not blow all those 40 years because Hashem did not want the clouds, the Anani HaKovid, that were protecting Klal Yisrael to scatter. So couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have made that they should have Anani HaKovid and have a Ruach Tzfonis, and the Ruach Tzfonis should not scatter the clouds? Says the Ritva, we know that Hashem does not make nisim just make nisim. And therefore, even though certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have had a ruach tzfoinis that would not adversely afflict the Anani HaKavod, it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. Another pshat that the Ritva says, and again, these two pshat, he's suggesting the two pshatim that we just learned in the Gemara complement each other. He's saying the Anani HaKavod protected them. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could have made a mace that even with the Anani HaKavod, we should have still be able to have Ruach Tzfoinus. And that says the Gemara in the Zufim. And for whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Nisim? For people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Kaviyochel upset with. But Klai Yisrael at that point, because of the Chet Meraglim, Chet O'Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with them, he wasn't prepared to make for them the nace of Ruach Tzfoinis, not separating the Anani HaKavod. Amar HaPapa, says the Gemara, now that we've learned this, that a person should only have a bris milah with its perfect weather, says the Gemara, Hilcha, b'yoyim de'iva, on a cloudy day, or yoyim de'shusa, on a day that there's a southerly wind, which is not the wind that heals the milah, like malinim. We don't do a bris milah. V'loy misarchinim bay. Misarchinim means bloodletting, hakozes adam, because you need the ruach tzfoinis, which will bring a refuah. And if you don't have that, you should not do the bris milah. However, says the Gemara, v'idna d'dosh b'rabim, nowadays that we do a bris milah under all circumstances, the reason we do it is because shem p'soim Hashem. And here the Gemara introduced a new concept, and that's the concept of Shem Psoim Hashem. Says the Ritva, a bichidish, that if somebody will refuse to do a bris milah nowadays on a cloudy day, he may have a right to say so. He may have a right to say Shem Psoim Hashem. And the Shas HaTshuvas Chaim Shaul says that based on this Gemara, that let's say somebody lives in a place where at the time that his son is supposed to have a bris milah, there's no real professional moil. So he says that a person could say, I don't want to do a bris milah, I don't want to take a doctor, I don't want to take a moil who I can't have confidence in, and therefore I'm not going to have the bris milah performed. Which opens up the question. Here the Gemara introduced the concept of Shomer P'soim Hashem. And when do we apply this concept, and when do we not apply this concept? Very interesting tshuva for a Moshe Zatzal, and the Shas HaTshuvas Igros Moshe, Choy Shemishpat Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Vav. Rav Moshe discusses there, can we tell somebody not to smoke? He says that certainly it's appropriate, particularly for Bnei Torah, not to smoke, because it's a sakana or chash sakana. So certainly somebody shouldn't smoke for that reason. Moreover, Ramesha writes that it's inappropriate for somebody to smoke. Smoking, even if you're doing it for pleasure, is not, he says, the way we live. Because to get involved and to get completely attached to something which is just done for pure enjoyment, it's not like eating, that you eat because you need to eat, is inappropriate. But Rav Moshe does say that since, this is what Rav Moshe says at that point, we know that that has been proven somewhat different medically, that even people who smoke, their chance of getting cancer, the chance of getting very ill, is only a little more than other people. That's why he applies the concept of Shem Hashem. The Rav Yoshev said that this was said in a time when it wasn't so clear that smoking was so dangerous. But now that we have now that we know that smoking is so absolutely dangerous, it would be very different. And so too, I saw the Shal Tshuvas Mishnah Alochis, Paskins and Chelik Tes, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, that it's certainly inappropriate for somebody to start smoking, but he's not able to say that somebody who has begun smoking has to stop smoking. The Mishnah Berura has a sefer called Likutei Amorim. And in Perek Yud Gimel, he says, somebody, Hamagel Atzma B'ishun, somebody who becomes accustomed to smoking, Hamagel Atzma B'ishun Sigarios, Oiva Al Nishmatem, Moidlan Afshasechem, he's over the Chiev that we all have to watch ourselves, and he continues to say, V'osu Litin Esadin. And that was in the time already of the Chofetz Chaim, who is so taking such a serious position. Certainly, Bezman Hazeh, where it's been proven that cigarette smoking is so dangerous, one, the Mishnah Berurah would certainly hold its osur. And so too I saw is the opinion of Rav Ozner Zatzal and the Shas Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelik Yud Simen Reis Tzadichei. The Klos Magen Rebbe, in the Shas Tshuva Stiver Yatzif, Yoridea Simen Laman Aleph, says that even though our Gemara did put in the concept of Shomer P'soim Hashem, he says it's not a kind of a concept that we could be, that we could just apply whenever we feel like doing so. He says Shomer P'soim Hashem is only in a place like in our Gemara, where the Gemara explicitly said that we do a bris milah even on a cloudy day. So once the Gemara said that on such a situation we could apply the concept of Shomer P'soim Hashem, that becomes a halachically acceptable principle. But says the Klos Magen Rebbe, no one on their own could go just say, I'm going to say Shomer P'soim Hashem and apply it wherever they want. We don't have that ability to do that. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbanan. All those 40 years that Klai saw in the Midbar, there wasn't a day, every night at Chatzos, there was the northern wind. My Tamuda, what do we learn from here? We're learning from him that Eis Rotzen, that Chatzos is Eis Rotzen. And Rashi adds that we find the same by David HaMelech. The Gemara says the kinur hayotoli lamala mimitasoi. There was a harp that was on top of the bed of David HaMelech. And kivin shegiyah chatzos. And when chatzos would arrive, ruach tzofonis min hashavas by this ruach tzofonis would blow umenagin me'elav, and it would cause the music to be produced. V'hu ayinor, and it says the Torah Tamima, now that we've learned the Eis Rotzen is by Chatzos, says the Torah Tamima, even though we just learned a moment ago that the Gemara says that there was no Ruach Tzefonis the 40 years that Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar, but by Chatzos there was a Ruach Tzefonis, because that special power that the Chatzos has, nothing could take away. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, in his Shailos HaTshuvos Micha Shlomo, says there's a question when we count Chatzos. Do we say that the day begins by Alois and goes to the Alois, and therefore Chatzos will be in the time between that period, or do we count the time till the nets? And he says that the Gemara now says that v'hi b'chayt chatzos halayla v'Hashem hikah kabachor, and he says that the Paiskim say that when they counted chatzos for a Mitzrayim, it was counting that the day begins at the nets. So if our Gemara is calling that chatzos, it seems, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's how we should always consider when chatzos is. He's speaking there about when we should eat matzah, Pesach by the night at the Seder. And that's why the Bechayrim were killed by chatzos. And furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch, not discussing the power of chatzos, in Simon Aleph Sif Beis, says, HaMashkim L'Skalon L'Fnei Boroi, if somebody wants to get up to Davin, Yischavin L'Shoah Shemishtanis Ben HaMishmoiris, Shem B'Shlish HaLayla, that the times when the Mishmaris that the Gemara Masechta the Brachos discusses turn from one to the next, which is after the first third of the night, b'soif shnei shlishei alayla, at the second third of the night, or b'soif alayla. Sh'atfila shemespal b'ois ha'shoz, anybody who davens at that time, al churban, crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the churban beis HaMikdash, v'al golos, crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this terrible golos that we're in, ritzuya. And the others say, and Magen Avraham says, that b'chatzois halayla, roi levakash rachvim, HaKanesis Yisrael, v'al b'neom, the proper time for a person to daven for all of Klai Yisrael is by chatzois, b'soif halayla, at the end of the night, by the nets, yivakash tzrochov, you should daven for your own needs. So here, it seems that chatzois halayla is the appropriate time to daven. Many Sfarim, particularly Api Kabbalah, say that until Chatzos, from when the night begins until Chatzos, is a difficult time, and it's not the time for a person to identify to daven. And that's why we know that the Arizal says that during the Slichas days, if one wants to say Slichas a night, he says one should not say Slichas before Chatzos, because till Chatzos is a Zman Din. And since it's a Zman Din, one should not say Tefillah at that time. But the Baal HaTanya says that when our Gemara says that Chatzos is a time that our Tefillahs are accepted, explains the Baal HaTanya, that doesn't mean specifically exactly at Chatzos. Rather, says the Baal HaTanya, it means from Chatzos and on. Once Chatzos arrives, that's the time, and the Gemara that we quoted about David HaMelech is very much a proof to that point. It doesn't mean only at the moment of Chatzos, but rather what it means is from Chatzos and on is the proper time to daven. Amar Rav Huna, says the Gemara, Dvar Torah, somebody midarais meshuach. That means someone who already had a bris milah, and then the orla, the foreskin, grew back, and it covers up the milah. And there are two ways of explaining this. One is, as Rashi seems to learn, that it happened by itself, the foreskin grew back. And others say that somebody deliberately did a procedure to cover up his the bris milah. So says Rav Huna, Dvar Torah midaraisa meshuach, a person who's in that category, oichel b'truma, is allowed to eat truma. He's not considered an oral. He already had a bris milah. However, midivrayim, all of midivrayim gozer olav midirabbanan, they made exera nei kenirika olal. That even though he isn't an oral technically, he had the bris milah, but there's a new concept of Marisayan, that he looks like he's an oral, and because he looks like an oral, that's why Chazal said he should not eat from Truma. Yerushalmi says a different reason. The Yerushalmi says because of Knas. If somebody undid his bris, Chazal punished him that he should not be allowed to eat Truma. And the obvious nafkamina between these two pshatim is what will happen if the person did not deliberately do it. It happened by itself. According to the way we learned, the Bavli of Nirika Oral, he looks like an Oral. So even though he didn't do it, he still is a Nirika Oral, and he may not eat Truma. Whereas according to Rishalmi, that's because of a Knas, this person where it happened by itself, is not deserving a Knas. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Brisa says, Mesuach, Tzaruch, Shimo, and the Gemara at this point is understanding that what the Brisa means, that Midaraisa, he's Mechuyev to do a bris. And says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Brisa, but rather to understand the Brisa is only saying Midrabbanon, he has to do a bris, not that he's Mechuyev Midaraisa. Says the Gemara, the Karolei, Mekarolei, what was the Havamina? When you ask a question, the question has to make sense. Isn't it obvious that the Braisa means that it's only Midrabbanan? Because the Braisa says, Tzoruch. The Braisa, if it wanted to indicate that somebody who is a Mashuach is obligated to have a Bris Milah again, that would be a dim of the Raisa, the Braisa should have used the words Mashuach Harehu Oral, that somebody who's a Mashuach is an Oral. The Braisa did not use those words. The Braisa says Mashuach Tzorach Shiyomo. That clearly is an indication that the Rabbanan told him to do so, but not that he's mechuyev to do so midiraisa. Answers the Gemara, the person who asked the question from the Braisa, what caused him to ask the question was Kotoy b'Seifa, because he learned the Seifa of the Braisa. The Seifa of the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says, lo yimol, that a Meshuach should not do a bris mil again, neshes koniloi. It involves a sakana. In other words, the Rabbanan hold that he should do a bris milah in the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though it would be appropriate for him to do another bris milah, but the bris milah may make him into a kris shivcha, and therefore, when there's a chshash sakana, he should not do the bris milah. Says the Gemara, Amrloi, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, v'lai harbi molu b'mei ben kaziva. There were many people in the time of Beit Kaziva that became a shulchan, and then they did a bris milah afterwards. V'elidu banim abanis shenemar, and as the pasuk says, himal yimal afilu mei apamim, that a person is obligated to do a bris milah even 100 times. V'aymer, and the pasuk says, arul zochah shlo yimal as besar alasay v'nichrasa anishahi as brise hefer l'rabbis mashuach. And that's what happened that caused them to believe that the Brais is actually indicating that there's a Chiv Daraisa. What happened was that the time of Ben Kasiva, the Romans took terrible advantage of Klal Yisrael, and then Ben Kasiva was the general, and he was able to prevail over them. And for 2 years, and while the Romans were in power, they made us not have a bris milah, undo the bris milah. And during those 2.5 years that Ben Kaziva was the king, he of course rolled back that rule, and that's when they all did the bris milah. So says the Gemara, asked the Gemara, Maiva Emer. The pasuk says Himal Yimal, and the Gemara learned from the words Himal Yimal that we learned that you have to do bris many times. So what was the purpose of also bringing the words of Asbrisi Hefer? Says the Mavichi Tema, if you'll say that what we learn from Himal Yimal, as we spoke in previous year, L'rabbis Tzitzin Hamakram Samila, there's certain strands of flesh that if they weren't removed during the Bris Milah is disqualified. And therefore, Himal Yimal is not available to teach us Afilu Me'epamim Tashma, as Brisi Hefer, L'Rabbis is Meshuach. So now, the Gemara explains what was the Kasha and Teretz in our Gemara. Who, the person thought, mid the Kosvele Shas Kro, since the Braisa is bringing this Pasuk of Himal Yimal or Brisi Hefer, it's an indication that the obligation for somebody who is a Meshuach to have a Bris Milah again is a Chiv Midaraisa. But actually, V'loihi, that is incorrect. The obligation is only midrabanon, as Rav Huna taught us. I, the pasuk, the kra, as a smachta ba'alma. Meisvei asked the Gemara. Rav Huna said that an individual who is a meshuach midaraisa, he's allowed to eat truma, but as we discussed earlier, Rav Huna said midrabanon, he may not eat truma. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says that if you have an individual who's a tumtum, that the place where you could tell if he's a male or a female is covered up, and it's impossible to tell if he's a male or a female, the halacha is ein oichel b'truma. He's not a nalari truma, because maybe he is indeed a male, and he's a male who did not have a bris milah. He's a man who's an oral, and as we often learn, an oral is nalari truma. Noshev avodav, his wife and his servants, oichlim. Because the halacha is that even if the owner of an eved, the husband of a woman who is a kohen, is eating, even though he is an Arul, even though he personally may not eat the Truma, his family and his Avodah may eat Truma. Continues the Braisa. Meshuach, the individual who was speaking about. V'noyla kishumol, somebody who was born already with a bris milah. Harei elu oichlim. The halacha is, they're allowed to eat Truma. So we see that they don't even have to have a bris milah midrabanon. Because if they would have to have a bris milah midrabanon, how could they eat Truma? Androgynous, continues the Braisa, somebody who has the simonim, both of a male and a female, androgynous, and the simonim of a male, he had a bris milah, he's allowed to eat the truma, whether we consider him a man, whether we consider him a woman, or whether we consider him a bris, beri b'fnei atzmai, he is a kohen. And a kohen, or is from the family of a kohen, may eat truma. And even if he's a man, as I just said, he's a man who had a bris milah. But he's not allowed to eat kachim. Kachim here means kachay kachim. And kachay kachim may only be eaten by zichrei kohanim, male kohanim. And as we just said, we can't know for sure that this androgynous is a male. Tumtum, but the individual who's a tumtum, he's not allowed to eat Truma, because maybe he's a Zachar, who's an Oral. And he's not allowed to eat Kachim, because maybe he's in the Keva. And a Keva is not allowed to eat Kachim. And if he's a Zachar, he's also not allowed to eat Kachim, because maybe he's an Oral. But what's relevant to us, says the Gemara Ketanimius, it's said clearly in this Braisa, that a Meshuach, V'noyla Kushumol, Harei Oichlim, allowed to eat Truma, even with Rabbanon, Tiyufta Rav Huna, this clearly is a refutation to Rav Huna's opinion that Rav Huna said that he may not eat Truma. Amamar, but says the Gemara, Amamar, we learned Tumtum ain't oich v'truma, that a Tumtum may not eat Truma, the person whose simonim are covered up, and we don't know if he's a Zoch or in the Keva, therefore, may not eat Truma. Noshev Avodov, but his family and his Avodim oichlim. But ask the Gemara, Noshim u'tumtum inolei, how could a tumtum possibly be married? Ilema, the Kaddish, if we'll say that the tumtum went and was Makaddish, a woman, ask the Tanya, as the Braisa says, tumtum shekidesh, if a tumtum did Kedushin in a woman, the halacha is Kedusha of Kedushin, we have to be concerned that the Kedushin are valid, because he may be a male, Nizgarish, or if a tumtum, somebody did kedushin with a tumtum, as if she were a woman, the kedushin a kedushin. Also, because we have to be concerned that maybe she's indeed a woman who can become a kudeshes. Ask the Gemara, Eimad the Amar. Everything that we said just now is only lechumra, but lekula to treat him for sure as a male, and say therefore his wife and family members could eat truma because of his kedushin, mi'amrinan, safik ishahu, we can't forget that there is a real question that he may be a woman. And certainly, ein isha, mekadeshes isha. One woman cannot be mekadesh another woman. Amra baya, we're referring here to a type of a tumtum, mikshebeyov nikaris b'mechutz, that we see for sure that he's a Zachar, because we see that he has the testicles of a Zachar. So, ask Tosfos, but even if that's the case, he is an individual who can't do Bia. And the halacha is that an individual who can't do Bia is not able to make Kedushin. So Tosfos says that once we have an individual who's Be'ev Nikarv B'chutz, that we treat him completely like a man. Rav Amar, my Noshev, Rava has a different explanation. He says, what is the definition of Noshev? Imoy. It means his mother. For as we've learned in our Masechta, that the halacha is that if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, the halacha is that if, and then the Kohen passes away, the halacha is she may continue eating Truma if she has descendants from that Kohen. And the Gemara is saying that even if the descendants are a even if the descendants are a tumtum, that doesn't make a difference. She would still be able to continue eating truma because of those descendants. But the question is, as Daruch Lener, if Noshov, as Rava says, means Imai, his mother, so the Mara should not have used the Lashon Rabbim. Noshov, many. We only have one mother. So how could the Gemara have used the word Noshov and Rava saying it means a mother? A mother can never be a plural. So Daruch Lener explains, also a concept that we've learned in our Shurim, that when we speak about descendants being able to eat Truma based on a child, it's not only the mother who's going to be allowed to eat Truma. It's a grandmother and a great-grandmother. So what the Gemara means with saying Noshov, it doesn't mean only his mother. What the Gemara meant by saying Noshov, it means all of the previous descendants that eat based on the mother's existence. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. But we've said, that as long as somebody has descendants, they're allowed to eat. So why would we think that because the descendant is a tumtum, she should not be allowed to eat? Answers the Gemara. The Pasuk says that why are they allowed to eat? Because the Torah Kedosha says, V'yilid beisoy heim yoichlu belachmai. So we would think that moilid machel, only a descendant that's able to have children makes that their foremother, should be able to eat truma. She'ena moilid, ena machel, doesn't have that ability, kamash melon. Tashma, says the Gemara, the Brisa says, we're going to learn from this Brisa that a tumtum she'beyev nikaris mebechutz is considered an oral, says the Gemara. Tumtum, the Brisa says, a tumtum ain't oichel loy betrumah v'loy bekotchim. They may not eat truma and kotchim. Bishlama labaya, the Rabbi says that this Brisa is teaching us, is talking about a tumtum she'beyev nikaris mebechutz. So now we could understand that why tumtum doesn't eat truma. Tana reisha oral vadai. First, we're learning in the reisha that somebody who's certainly an avad oral may not eat truma. And then tani sefer suffik oral, that if he's a suffik, because it's bay of nikaros, when it's ain bay of nikaros, then he's not going to eat truma. Ela rava, that according to rava, the entire brisa is talking about your regular tumtum, where it's bay of ain of nikaros from b'chutz. We don't know what is that he has testicles. So the question is, why did the brisa need to repeat itself? Tumtum the sefer lomeli. Answers the Gemara, when according to Rava, the way he's going to explain this brisa, what is the definition of tumtum? In the sefer, it means an oral. But ask the Gemara, that opens up a whole new question. If the Reisha, which is talking about a suffix oral, and is teaching us that hash the suffix oral, that the Reisha taught us that somebody who's a suffix oral may not eat, so then certainly the Sefer, where he, as Rav is now interpreting the Sefer, that the Sefer speaking about a Vadi oral, do we need to explain that he should be allowed to eat? Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Brisa is with a mat tam kamer. The Sefer is explaining the Reisha. And the Sefer is saying, Ma tam tumtum en oichel v'truma. Why may a tumtum not eat truma? Because he's a suffix oral. And the halacha is that an oral en oichel loy v'truma v'loy v'kotchim. So we began this sugya by teaching us, the Rav Huna teaching us, that a Meshuach is not mechuyev to have a bris milah midaraisa, but midrabanon. Our Gemara said because of Maris Ayin, she'd have a Bris Milah. Says the Gemara, this question perhaps is a machloikus tanoim. The Brisa says, Lemaka tanoi. The Brisa says, Meshuach, or Ger Shinaz Gayer Kishnumol, or you have a Ger that became a Ger when he was already Mol. Ger Shinaz Gayer Shikumol, the cotton Sha'ov is Manoi, or you have a cotton that's already after the eighth day, the Shakol and the Moilim. The Gemara is going to explain who that means. L'suyei mishesh loishtei arolos, that he has two foreskins. Ein amolam el b'yoyim. The halacha is that they should have their bris milah on the eighth day, which is only Beit Day and the eighth day. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Bizmanoi, Eina Melam Bel Yoim. If we're going to do the Bris Milah on the eighth day, it should be indeed by day. Shloim Bizmanoi. But if we're not doing it on the eighth day, then the halach is Min Moilim Bein B'Yoim Bein B'Layla. Then the halach is we could do the Bris both by day or by night. My love. And so what is this machlokus all about? Suggest the Gemara. My love, Balkamifki, that this is the basis of the machlokus. The Masover, the opinion of the Tanakam is Meshuach deraisa. A Meshuach has to have a Bris Milah deraisa. And since he has to have a Bris Milah deraisa, all of the halachas of a Bris Milah apply to him. It's supposed to be by day, and it's supposed to be on the eighth day. Omar, whereas Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon holds Meshuach Midrabonin, and since Midaraisa, he doesn't have to have a Bris Milah, he could even have the Bris Milah even by night. So I saw the Pasuk says, Vayomalas Basar Alosam by Avram Avinu, Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh. And Rashi says, B'yoyim V'loy B'layla, that the Bris Milah took place only by day. But we just learned that if it's Shloi Bizmanoi, the Bris Milah could be done B'yoyim U'B'layla. So how do we understand that, why did that Bris have to be only by day? So I saw Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman actually says that by every Jew, the proper time for doing a Bris Milah is the eighth day. And when we do the Bris Milah the eighth day, the Bris Milah is supposed to be done by day. By Avram Avinu, it wasn't the eighth day that was the time for him to do the Bris Milah. The time for Avram Avinu's Bris Milah was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to him. So Avram doing the Bris Milah on the eighth day, on the day that he did it, is like when we do the Bris Milah when we're doing it on the eighth day. That was the Zmanoi. And Bizmanoi, a Bris Milah is always supposed to be by day. Another pshat, that Avram Avinu's Bris Milah wasn't the same as the Bris Milah that we do on every Jewish child that's born. But the Bris Milah of Avram Avinu was a Bris Milah of Geiris. And the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Sim Resh Samaches Sif Gimel teaches us that a ger shemal atzmai belayla, if somebody becomes a ger, and we know, as we've learned many times, a ger only can become a ger with a Bris Milah. If he did the Bris Milah by night, a dying also be Israel. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. He's not considered Jewish. And the Mefarshim explain, because Geiris is considered like a Din Torah. Mishpat Echad Yielachem is referred to that. And such a Din Torah could only be done by day. So now we could understand. The Bris Milah that Avram did on himself and his family was a Bris Milah to make them into Geirim, and therefore it had to be done B'yoyim, even though it wasn't a Bris Milah on the eighth day. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that the Machloikus of the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar of Shimon is if the Chiyuv of doing a Bris Milah on a Meshuach is a Chiyuv deraisa or Chiyuv derabbanan. Says the Gemara, how can we say that? The Tizbara, Katan Sha'aviv is Manoi. The Gemara spoke also about a cotton who's after the eighth day and has not yet had a Bris Milah. Now, can anybody suggest that individual, the child that's over 8 days old, chiv to have a Bris, is only the Rabbanon? And therefore, the Gemara says, the Kul Alma, everybody will agree, the Meshuach Midrabbanon. The chiv of doing a Bris Milah on a Meshuach is only Midrabbanon. Actually, the Rishonim point out, the Rajba points out, the Gemara could have said that everybody agrees that the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Daraisa. But rather, the Gemara wanted to explain it this way, because the Gemara indeed holds, like Rav Huna taught us on Amun Aleph, that the Halacha is, like Rav Huna, that the Chiyuv of doing a Bris Milah on a Meshuach is only with Rabbanan. The Katan Shavuz Manoi, but a child after the eighth day, is only a chiyuv daraisa. And the machloikis about being able to do the Bris Milah at night is based on the pasuk that the Torah says, "Ubiyoyim Hashmini Yima Basar Losoi." Masov, the Tanakam's opinion is that Shinan Biyoyim, that teach us that even a bris milah that's done after the eighth day must strictly be done by day. Or Masover, the Lozber of Shimon, Loidash Shinan Biyoyim, and he holds that it could be done even afterwards. Says the Gemara, this question is about what do you learn from the word vav. Actually, says the Gemara, is we find elsewhere. Kihadi Yosef Rav Yoichan of Adarish. Noisa bismanoi. The day that a carbon becomes noiser, ain't a nisr elf b'yoim. It has to be burnt only by day. The pasuk says, "Va'noisa b'psar hazavach b'yoim ashlishi b'yoim ashlishi beis yisarav." What about shloim bismanoi? If you're burning noiser after the time that it already became noiser after that day, Nisr bein b'yoyim bein b'layla. It can be burnt both by day and by night. Ve'esrei Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yochanan. And then Rabbi Lozer asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ein li ela nimel l'shmini, shenin nimel ela b'yoyim. Menayel Rabbis l'tishel, asar l'acharas l'shnei masar. That how do we know that that bris milah also only could take place by day? Tamalayma u b'yoyim. So we see explicitly that we learn the vav u b'yoyim. What are the case of 9, 10, and 11, and 12? The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos explains that if a child was born bein hashmashos from Friday into Shabbos, so we can't make the bris on Friday because maybe the bris is supposed to be on Shabbos. We can't make the bris on Shabbos because maybe the bris was supposed to be on Friday. And the only time we can make a bris on Shabbos is when we're certain that the bris is supposed to take place on Shabbos. So that's why we have to make the bris on 9th day, Sunday. If Yontif falls out, if it was Ben Shmoshes of Erev Shabbos, then it's the 10th day. Now, every child that we don't know when he's born, we make the bris on the 9th day. If that day is Shabbos, it's the 10th day. And if Yontif comes the day after Shabbos, it'll be the day after. So continues the Gemara. We see from here that we learn the Vav of Ubiyoyim Hashmini, just like we learned the Vav of Av Noiser. Says the Gemara, Fil man deloy dorish Vav. Even the man Domid that doesn't learn Vav by the Bris Milah, Vav Hey, when it says a Vav Hey by Noiser, Ha Noiser dorish. Ishtik, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan remained silent, Basar the Nafik, but to what Rabbi Lazar told him. But after Rabbi Lazar left, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Reisil ben Padas, Yoshev dorish, I find Rabbi Lazar ben Padas teaching, like Moshe Rabbeinu learned from the Torah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei Rish Lakish, the Rish Lakish said, Didehu, this drasha that he learned, Ubiyoyim, that we learned from the Vav, that a bris milah, even if after the proper time, should only be done by himself, is his something that he taught us? Masnisenhi, it's something we learned in the Braisa, says the Gemara. Hechatan alei. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish, where was this taught? So he said, "B'Tiras Kahanim." It was taught in Tiras Kahanim. Says the Gemara, "Nafik Tanya B'Tlasi Yami." He spent 3 days learning the Tiras Kahanim and the Savra, and then B'Tlasi Yarchi. Then he started really delving into it for 3 months. So from here we see the Ramban says that even the great Amoraim did not necessarily know all of the Brises. Because here we find that Rabbi Yochanan had to study the Brises. Moreover, says the Yavetz, we see the Gemara teaches us the proper way to learn. The proper way to learn is first learn the Bekiyas, learn the entire Brisa, and after you've studied the Brisa, then you could start delving into them. We know if Yisrael becomes Tamei Meis, and he wants to become Tar, to be able to eat Truma and Kachim, he has to have Hazor from the Mei Chatos, the mixture of the Mayim Chayim and the ashes of the Parah Aduma, on the 3rd and the 7th day, and at that point he could eat Trum and Kachim. The one that sprinkles the Mei Chatos has to be Tar. As the Pasuk says, V'tavu b'mayim ish tar, v'hiza hatar al tamei. Normally, that a person who's a Tful Yoim, the person who was Tamei and went to the mikveh, is not considered completely tahor until he has hair of shemesh. But the Torah teaches us by saying v'hiza atar that even if he's a tful yoim, he's allowed to go to the, he's allowed to be the one to sprinkle the mechatis. Amar Belazar, oral shehiza. What about an individual who is an oral and did the hazar? Hazar sukshera. Mida to have a tful yoim. Just like we learn about a tful yoim, that the halacha is mida to have a tful yoim. Shabbi shu also betruma, that even though he's not allowed to eat truma, kosher the paraduma, he's allowed to be the one to do the paraduma sprinkling. Ask the Gemara, what kind of a comparison is this? Mal tful yoim she came muta b'maisa. The halacha is tful yoim is allowed to eat maisa sheni. So that's what, but oral is not allowed to eat maisa sheni, and therefore we'll say just like a tful yoim could do hazar, he could also do. That's why he's allowed to do hazar. But an oral who can't eat maisa sheni maybe can't do hazar. Says the Gemara, we're not talking about eating. We're talking about l'negiyah kamrinan. We're talking about halacha of negiyah. And the way to learn is as follows, that even though individuals with tful yoim may not touch truma, the halacha is mutar bepara. He's allowed to do the avoid of the paraduma. So too, oral, who's mutar to touch truma kachim, ain't a din to mutar to be the individual to do the hazar of the parah. And tanya nami hachi, oral shehiza huksar sukshera. And says the Brisa Maisa Haya, there was in fact such an episode that an oral did the hazar, the chshira chamech hazara. Meisvei asked the Gemara. Tumtum, we discussed earlier, a kumtum is an individual that we don't know if he's a zacha in the keva. Shekidesh, he's the one that made the mixture of the ashes of the paraduma and the mayim chayim. Kedusha posel. The halacha is that what he did is disqualified. Mnei shusofik oral. He may be an oral. An oral is posel kaddish. Androgynous shekidesh. If it was an androgynous who has the simonim both of a male and a female, and he did a bris mila on his makam mila, the halacha is kedusha kosher. Rav Yudaima af androgynous shekidesh. Even an androgynous who does this, kedusha psulim, neshe sofik isha, he may be a woman, v'isha psulul kaddish. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a woman may not do this avoida. K'tani miya, but it says here, clearly, an oral and a sofik oral, pasim al kaddish. So, just like he can't do it, the kiddush, he can't make this mixture, he should also be disqualified from doing the hazar. So how can we say, hazar sok shera? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hai Tana Tana de Bei Rabbi Kiva. This follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva holds the Marba Lei L'Oral, that he considers an Oral like a Tamei. The Tanya, as we learned in our previous Shurim, that how do we know that an Oral may not eat the carbon, may not eat Truma? So the Tana Kama learned it from Gzeir Shava, Toshi V'Soch, from Pesach. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, we don't need that Gzeir Shava. The Pasuk says, Ish Mizaril Aaron, V'hu Tzurua, Azar, B'kotchim L'yoich L'adash Yitar, L'rabbis Ha'oichel, Ra'oral. Rabbi Kiva considers such an individual to be considered like an oral. Omer Rava, Havyav Sivna Kameh, Rabbi Yosef. Says Rava, I was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef Akashali. Says the Gemara, L'lishtam, if that is indeed the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that an oral and a tame are the same, shouldn't we find any tana that would say that just like a tame may not touch truma, an oral may not touch truma, and we'll say that that represents the opinion v'lemer b'kivihi, says the v'loy, is we have such a brisa. The brisa says v'ktania oral v'tame, a person who's oral or is tame, a potam and a ria. So we see that there's a brisa that equates them, and we'll say that that brisa is obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, there it's not because an oral and a tamei are equivalent, but rather it's because a person who is oral is mos, and that person doesn't belong in the Beis HaMikdash. Bazel Tamayu, says the Gemara, this machlokes that we've been discussing about an oral or tamei, says the Gemara, is a machlokes that we've learned previously that we will explain in our coming shiurim.